Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Have you ever wanted a reboot, like a chance to start over? At one time, I felt that way about a vacation. It was the year 2000. And I was asked to speak at a conference in Chicago. My wife and I had been married for 5 years. Our son, Dawson, was like 11 months old. We had not been on a vacation, well, really ever. So we decided, let's all three of us go and make it a little vacation. We were stoked. Until the day we left, I woke up with the flu and pink eye. Freaking pink eye. How do you even get pink eye? I was miserable the entire flight. Dawson, who was 11 months old, was also miserable on the plane, which meant everyone was miserable on the plane. We arrived and picked up our rental car. It was the longest automobile I've ever seen. We drove off in the pimp mobile, embarrassed but accepting our fate. Pimping ain't easy, but somebody's got to do it. So the next day, we drove to downtown Chicago and took our son to the aquarium, where we discovered that babies are not interested in looking at fish. We left the aquarium and went to this great restaurant we had heard about, but we didn't like it. After dinner, we went to a Bulls game where my son was fussy and not happy and decided he didn't want to sit on my lap. He kept escaping and crawling under the legs of total strangers. We left the game in the second quarter. The next morning, we realized Dawson is sick. In fact, he had the flu and pink eye. Freaking pink eye. Well, we decided that sickness would not stop us, so we drove to legendary Wrigley Field for a Cubs game. I am psyched. It was 34 degrees, and the wind chill made it feel like we were stuck in the middle of a popsicle. We left in the second inning. On our drive back to our hotel, it felt like something was stuck in my tooth, so I scratched at it, and my tooth chipped. Well, it didn't chip as much as it chunked. There was more tooth in my hand than in my mouth, and now every time I spoke, the jagged saber-tooth spear that was once my tooth cut the inside of my mouth. That night, we went to a restaurant. I pulled into a parking spot. I misjudged the length of the pimp mobile and clipped the corner of the car next to me. It was a brand new Mercedes-Benz. We left a note on the car, hoping the owner would decide it wasn't worth the trouble to follow up with us. After dinner, we decided our son was now so sick, we had to take him to the emergency room. When we finally arrived that night back at our hotel, the people who owned the Mercedes were waiting for us to exchange insurance information. The next morning, my wife woke up with the flu and pink eye, freaking pink eye. And when we got done with that vacation, I felt like, could we do that over? I need a reboot. And today we are starting a new series called Reboot. And we all know this word, right? Like with movie franchises, it means that the franchise isn't going the way they want it to, so they start again. So like, we don't like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man series. It's not what we want it to be anymore. So we're going to restart the series with Andrew Garfield. We don't feel like the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man series is what we want it to be anymore. So we're going to restart the series with Tom Holland. We don't like the way the Tom Holland series of Spider-Man is going. And so, well, they haven't done that yet. Well, they kind of did, but it was a cartoon into the Spider-Verse, so it doesn't really count. But they just keep redoing the Spider-Man series each time with a new, hotter, better-looking, sexier Spider-Man. And so it's obvious who the next Spider-Man will be. That's right. Yep. So in movies, A reboot is when they say, you know what, it's not going the way we want, so let's start it over. And then there's a reboot on a computer. We all know how you reboot a computer, at least the old school way. You push the control key and the alt key and the delete key and boom, reboot. Why do you reboot a computer? Because it isn't working. Something isn't working. You need to just start over. Man, if a movie series isn't going well, you can start it over. If your computer isn't working, you can start it over. What about your life? Why can't you start your life over? What if you could start your life over? It isn't going well? That's okay. Reboot. It just isn't working? That's okay. Reboot. Well, today, I want to show you how Easter can give you an opportunity for a reboot. And the rest of this series, we're going to talk about how maybe this coronavirus crisis and the lock-in, quarantine, the shutdown, maybe even a layoff, could be the reboot you've been looking for. In fact, the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about control, alt, and delete. We're going to have a special guest with us each week, Captain Charlie Plum. He was a POW for over 6 years in Vietnam. He knows all about being confined and restarting your life, and he's going to give us some expert perspective and advice on how we can have a reboot. I hope you'll join us for all the weeks of this Verve Online series. I really think it's going to help us to make sense of and find some good that can come out of this coronavirus crisis. So, today, Easter. And if you didn't know the Easter story before, hopefully you were watching a few minutes ago when Chloe told it to us. I'm not sure if Chloe had all the facts exactly right, but pretty close. And I want to show you some people who got a reboot because of Easter. But just to make sure you know the story, Jesus had spent several years telling people who he was, the Son of God come to earth. He preached a message of love. He said God was for everyone. His love was available to everyone. He was inviting everyone into relationship with him. Well, that did not make the religious leaders of the time happy. They didn't preach love. They preached standards. There were standards that must be met. God was not for everyone, only those who met the standards. There was an invitation into religion, but only for the select few. And so these religious leaders tried to stop Jesus, but they couldn't stop him. People were listening to him, following him. They couldn't stop him, so they decided to kill him. They did. Well, they got the Roman government to do it. The religious leaders told them that Jesus was a threat to their power. The Romans executed him by crucifixion, put him in a grave, covered the grave with an immovable boulder, and stationed armed guards outside it. 3 days later, the grave is empty, which is exactly what Jesus had predicted would happen. The boulder had been moved. The guards can't explain what happened. And people start to see Jesus alive. It ends up being hundreds of people, not just a couple people, like an Elvis sighting at a gas station outside of Mobile, Alabama. He was here. I swear it. You should have seen him, the king. He's alive. No, this is hundreds of people who saw Jesus alive after his death. Not just a couple people who had believed in Jesus before, but hundreds of people, many who didn't believe in Jesus before, all now proclaiming that they saw Jesus, talked to Jesus, ate with Jesus, touched Jesus alive after he was dead. Hundreds. But today, I want to tell you about just four. We'll start with the first person who sees Jesus after the resurrection, Mary. Now, this is not the Virgin Mary. This Mary was Mary Magdalene, which means she was Mary from the town Magdala. She was one of the people who had believed in and followed Jesus back towards the beginning, and she becomes the first person to see the resurrected Jesus. Wow, right? I mean, that's an honor. Out of all the people God could have chosen, why did he choose Mary Magdalene? I don't know, but I do know something about her. Here's Mary's wiki page. Before meeting Jesus, she was a prostitute. We get the idea that Mary was kind of unstable. Her life was messy. Of all people, God chose her. Which, by the way, this is one of the many reasons I believe the resurrection accounts in the Bible. Back at that time, a woman's testimony was not considered valid, which was stupid, but that's the way it was back then. I mean, like, women were not allowed to testify in court. No one believed what they had to say. So if you're just making up the resurrection story, trying to get people to believe it, you would not have a woman be the first witness, especially a woman with such a bad reputation. So here's the scene. Jesus has been crucified on Friday. Saturday was the Sabbath, a day of silence, a day when those who had followed Jesus were heartbroken and disappointed when not one person in the entire world believed in Jesus. On Sunday morning, Mary goes to Jesus' tomb, just like we might go to the gravesite of a friend. She gets there and the boulder has been moved. She's confused, she's upset, she starts crying, and that's where we'll pick up the story. Now, Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." She didn't go to this tomb expecting Jesus to be gone. Even though Jesus had predicted his resurrection, no one's expecting it. She stopped believing in Jesus when he was killed on Friday. Isn't that kind of cool? She's not a believer, but here's Jesus trying to connect with her. She doesn't even realize it yet, but he is trying to connect with her. Listen, you may not believe, but Jesus is trying to connect with you. You may not realize it, but he is. I think that's why he has you watching this right now. Next verses. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." I think just Jesus' voice saying Mary gave him away. And then Jesus says, "Don't hold on to me." Huh? I think what he means is don't get used to this. Jesus only spent 40 more days on earth and then he goes back to heaven. But look what Jesus says next to her. "Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So Jesus is back from death. He's back, and the first person he appears to, the first person he speaks to is Mary, this woman with a crazy, sinful past. And when he talks about God to her, he says, "My Father and your Father, my God and your God." It's like he's saying, "Mary, because of what I've accomplished on the cross and through my resurrection, you now, because of your faith, are part of the family of God. Once you didn't belong, you didn't feel like you belonged, but now through your faith in me, you have been adopted into God's family. Yes, I know your past. I know what you've done and what's been done to you. And Mary, I love you. I accept you. I've made a way for you. God is my Father and now your Father. My God and now your God. Can you imagine what that meant to her? After all she had done, after being looked down on and rejected and shamed, to have someone, and not just someone, the someone who mattered most, accept her and love her despite her past. Wow. You know what that must have felt like? A reboot. It was a reboot. Her life wasn't what she wanted to be. It wasn't working, but Jesus gave her a brand new life. He didn't look at her based on the life that she had lived, and that meant she didn't have to keep living the way she had lived. He was giving her a reboot. It was amazing. And Jesus didn't stop there. He said, go to my brothers, tell them, my Father, your Father, my God, your God. By his brothers, he's talking about the guys he had chosen, and been best friends with and had been training up for leadership in his revolution of love. He says, go tell them, my Father, your Father, my God, your God. Now, when you hear about these chosen guys, these best friends, these future leaders, you might have the idea that these were like saints, right? Like Jesus must have chosen the most faithful, holy, religious people. No, that's not who he chose at all. Let me tell you about these guys. Well, we don't have time for all 12. We'll just pick three of them. One of them is a guy named Thomas. There's an adjective that usually comes before Thomas's name. Maybe you've heard it. He's called Doubting Thomas. Mighty man of faith? No, not at all. He struggles to believe even after Jesus raises from the dead. Maybe you can relate. And yet Jesus says, go tell Thomas, my Father, your Father, my God, your God. And what happens with Thomas is he gets a reboot. He goes from doubting Thomas to a guy who is so committed to his faith, he dies for it. Then there's Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector, which back then meant he forced his fellow Jews to give their taxes to the oppressive Roman government, and he was scraping off the top and getting rich by ripping off his fellow Jews. He was hated and despised, considered the most sinful person in his town. Maybe you can relate to that. Matthew hung out with drunks and prostitutes. Maybe you can relate to that. And yet Jesus says, go tell Matthew, my Father, your Father, my God, your God. And Matthew gets a reboot. Instead of despised, he becomes loved and respected. Instead of a betrayer of his people, he becomes a spiritual leader. And then there's Peter. Now, when you hear Peter, you might think of Saint Peter. Sounds like a holy guy. No. In fact, of all Jesus' disciples, Peter is the one who messes up the most. He says the wrong thing. He does the wrong thing. And then when Jesus is arrested and about to be crucified, three times Peter denies even knowing Jesus. He feels like a failure. He goes back to the old life he had before he met Jesus. And yet, Jesus says to Mary, hey, go tell Peter, my Father, your Father, my God, your God. Peter did not deny himself out of God's family. He is still loved, still included. In fact, he becomes like the point leader of Jesus' love revolution. Reboot. So many people, they have this idea of God that he favors the rule keepers, people who don't sin as much, people who go to church more, people who have never made a mistake, never been through a divorce, never declared bankruptcy, never had an abortion, never lie, never cheat, never steal a World Series. I'm a Dodgers fan, and yes, I am still bitter against the Astros. Listen, that view of God, that is called religion. It's all about what you do for God. Have you done enough for God? Jesus did not come to establish a religion. He came to destroy one. He came to end religious thinking, to tell people it's not about what you do for God. It's about what God is doing for you. It's not about you being for God enough. It's about God being for you. What God has done is have Jesus die. And through his death, through faith in him, you can stop religion and have a relationship with God. See, God doesn't ignore our sin. He doesn't excuse our sin. What he does is pay for our sin. That's what the cross is all about. We're all messy. We're all sinful. We all deserve God's judgment. But when Jesus died on the cross, he absorbed all of our sin and all the judgment we deserved. All God asks you to do is put your faith in his son and in his sacrificial death for you. It's an invitation. And you just have to say yes. Through his death, through faith in him, you can have a relationship with God. And through his resurrection, you can have a reboot. And that's what happened with all those people. Mary with her messy past, Thomas with his doubts, Matthew with his sinful life, Peter with his denials. Jesus says to them and to us, my Father, your Father, my God, your God. You are included. Well, you are invited. And so if you want to be, you're included. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what's been done to you, God loves you. God is inviting you. Put your faith in Jesus and you step into relationship with him, with a God who has resurrection power and offers that power to you. The power to start over, the power to do what you cannot do. All things are possible. The power to walk not only to the grave, but to follow Jesus in his resurrection into eternal life and walk one day through the grave. Through his resurrection, you can have a reboot. And so let's pray for that. And then we are going to have some songs of worship to this God who has done so much for us. And these songs are our way of saying thank you, of saying, God, thank you for loving me. And God, I love you. So let's pray. And then even just sitting there in your living room, you can stand in your living room. I don't know, maybe you're in bed eating breakfast watching this, but let's sing to God. First, let's pray. God, what an amazing God you are. A God who loves us despite us. Not asking us to earn your love, to be good enough for your love, but loving us when we're at our worst. A God who had a solution for our sin. And a God who can even overcome death. A God who died and who rose from the grave. And a God who tells us that we can have a reboot in life, that even if my life has not been going the way I want, even if my life has not become what I hoped it would be, I can start over. You give us a fresh start and the power to actually live a new and better life. God, thank you for that. God, thank you for the invitation you make to each one of us. God, my prayer is that we would say yes. Maybe some of us have said yes. Maybe some of us are ready in this moment to say yes. Maybe some of us, we're not there yet. We're just not. And that's okay. You're patient with us. God, my prayer is that for someone who's not ready, that they'd say, you know what? I will pursue this. Like I'm willing to take some more steps. I'm willing to maybe go to this next step thing that Verve offers. I'm willing to come back to the next week of online service and check that out and find out how God can give me a reboot. God, thank you for being an awesome God of resurrection power. Thank you for Jesus and thank you for Easter. We pray and we sing these next songs in his name. Amen.